Come on.
Hello, dear listener. Before we get into today's show, quick ask. If you find value in today's show or you've gotten value out of a previous show, please leave us a quick 5-star review. Be super grateful. Thanks a lot. Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome today's guest, a strong and powerful Rene Boer. Rene, are you ready to do this?
I am ready to do this, George.
Excellent. Let's do this. Rene is an EOS implementer. He is a lifelong entrepreneur. He's the co-author of How to Be a Great Boss. Excited to have you on. Rene, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Okay, well, in a nutshell, I'm actually an immigrant, George. I came to this country with my parents from the Netherlands when I was about 5 years old. I grew up in Wisconsin. I'm married for 45 years. I've got 2 grown daughters, 4 grandkids. I started my journey in business in the restaurant industry, working my way through college. So 35 years of restaurant industry experience. I've been helping owners and leadership teams of privately held companies get what they want from their business through a process called EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And a few years ago, I authored a book with Gino Wickman, the founder of EOS, called How to Be a Great Boss. I'm also an avid cyclist, so I get in about 3,000 to 4,000 miles a year in riding. So that's how I let off a little steam.
Nice. Well, that's awesome. There's a lot of things to congratulate you on. Probably the 45 years of marriage. That ought to be your next book, Rene.
Yeah, how to be married for 45 years. My wife would get all the credit for that.
Yeah, she should potentially write that one then. Nice. That's awesome. All right, so 35 years in the restaurant industry, and how did you come to find EOS?
Yeah, so after about 35 years, I was in my mid-50s, and I hit a kind of a midlife crisis just thinking about what I was doing. And honestly, I was burned out. I'd spent a lot of time doing something that I was good at, but realized that I just didn't want to do it anymore. And, it's kind of interesting how life happens. That's about the time that I met Gino Wickman and Don Pinney. And I was one of the very first implementers within EOS. So that was back in these late 2007. And, I've just spent the last 13 years doing what I think I was really genetically encoded to do, and that's help, right? So it's all about teaching, coaching, and facilitating. And, so I've kind of rediscovered myself. So it's been really, really good.
Nice. So you spent a lot of time doing something that you were good at, but it wasn't necessarily your passion, and even if it was your passion, it's still possible for people to burn out, right?
Yes, and I think, that this is something that may be true for others as well. You spend your whole life doing something you're good at because you spend so much time doing it.
Yeah.
But if you have a moment of clarity and you really think about, is this something I really, really love to do? And what is it that I'm great at? There's a difference between good and great and love and like. and I don't think, a lot of us slow down long enough to really think about that. And when you do, it just opens up a whole new universe of opportunities. And so, I was fortunate to have that moment of clarity.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, isn't it? I think that it's probably a ton of people who have that experience of, okay, I'm doing this because I'm good at it. I'm earning a living. This is working. But there could be more. How do you go about asking yourself that question, or do you just ask yourself that question?
Well, yeah. So think about the challenge when all the people that are in your network are also telling you that you're really good at something.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you realize, you start casting yourself that way, right? It's sort of a, okay, I'm a restaurant guy. You start thinking of yourself as not who you are, but what you do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the exercise that I went through, this is an EOS tool called Delegate and Elevate. And the challenge is to just start writing down all the activities that you find yourself doing on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And when you do that, you come up with a pretty big list. And my list had, you know, probably over almost 100 things on it, just detail things. And then you take all those activities and you put it into four quadrants, with the upper left-hand quadrant being things that you really, really love to do and you're great at. And the bottom right-hand quadrant would be things that you hate to do, you're not good at, and then the other quadrant to the left of that is things that you're good at, but you just don't like to do anymore. And when I did that, I looked at my list and I went, oh my God, you know, like 80% was below the bar, right? It was, yeah, things in quadrant three and four. And I thought, well, what do I love to do that I could really say I'm great at? That took some time to really think that through. And, then you just start devising a plan. You know, how can I let go of stuff that keeps me from really focusing on things that matter to me? And I think that's a challenge. It's, you know, what do you really care about? What's really important? What do you have passion for? So it takes a little while to do it. But once you start developing a discipline to let go of some stuff, because a lot of times what keeps you from getting what you want is clarity around what you want, and all those things you won't let go of or that you can't let go of. And, that's the exercise.
Is it fear that really stops people from taking that next step of letting it go?
Oh, yes. A laundry list. Fear, guilt is one. I mean, I used to have a lot of things that I was doing that I hated to do and I wasn't particularly good at, but I just assumed, because I found those things to be so onerous, I just assumed that, well, hell, if I hate doing them, I'm sure other people, right, would hate doing them too. Right. And then fear is that there's a good one, George. I mean, it's I'm making a living doing this.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, these are things I'm good at, that I'm, you know, putting bread on the table. I'm feeling good. Everybody's telling me I'm good at it. And then you think, boy, if I let go of that, then what? What am I going to do? And that's tough, you know, letting go. And, you know, that's for coming up with a game plan. And a lot of times, you know, what ends up happening to people is some event in their lives. They lose their job, or they get fired from a job, or something else happens where they think, okay, now I have, because now it's happened, this event has happened, now I need to figure it out. You know, I think the time to figure it out is get ahead of the curve a little bit, try to figure it out now. So think about the last 6 months. There are things that have happened that some people took as an opportunity to pursue something different, and then there were others that just kind of got caught up in it. So, you know, those kinds of events are going to happen in our lives. They just are going to happen. And so do it now. Do it now.
Yeah, it's so hard. It's so hard for us to be proactive about, you know, from things like purchasing insurance or doing our taxes or getting a will done or going, yep, through an exercise like what you've just been describing, without, yes, some outside force sort of knocking us out of our equilibrium or knocking us out of our, you know, just rhythm and cycle. So,
yeah.
And it really, you know, that's right. We're having this conversation on September 14th. And yeah, it's crazy that it's been, you know, 6 months that we've been going through this. And if you're listening and you haven't taken the opportunity to maybe do a little bit of reflection and digging into the stuff that Renee's just been talking about, now is a perfect time.
Yeah. And, you know, the things that we're talking about, you know, they relate to business, but I think they also relate to our personal lives. And those two things are absolutely locked together. I mean, there's no such thing as separating your business life from your personal life. I mean, to think that way, I think is crazy. I mean, you spend most of your waking hours at work with people at work, and then you spend a bunch of time, hopefully, with your family and focusing on your family and on yourself. And that's got to be in balance, right? It's your life. It's not your professional life and your personal life. It's just your life. And you got to get it all to work. And there's a challenge in that for sure.
Do you think that that's always been the case, or has the way that we work changed?
You know, that's interesting. You know, I think just reflecting back on when I got started, which was a long time ago. You know, in the beginning, it's all about, no, I'm going to keep my work life separate from my personal life. Yeah. Whatever those two are going to be. And I'm not going to get too close to my people. In fact, way back when, my father-in-law, World War II vet said, you know what? Familiarity breeds contempt. Mm. You know, keep your professional, keep those folks at arm's length. You don't want to get to know too much about them, and vice versa. Don't let them know too much about you. And, that's just crazy, especially in the information age, I mean, if you're really going to be, this is kind of the subject of being a great boss. If you're really going to be a great boss, you got to be a great coach. And the great coaches always say, hey, coach the person before you coach the player. Right? Yep. I don't know if that was Nick Saban or who, should be credited with saying that, but I think that's really, really true. Is really getting to understand people and helping them get better, and in so doing, they help you get better. And so we're all in it together. I think it's complicated, but at the same time, it's simple. It may not be easy, but I think it's simple if you can do that. And for a boss to be able to go there, I think you got to be humble, which is another fallacy. When I got started, I thought I needed to be the know-all, do-all. That didn't work very well for me, by the way, George. I don't have all the answers, and I certainly can't do it all by myself. I need people to help me, and you got to be willing to ask for help. And that's, not only being humble, but a willingness to be a little bit vulnerable too. And you get a lot more credit for sitting down with people that report to you, that part of your team, and saying, hey guys, I don't have all the answers, and I don't quite know what I'm doing. I need a little help. Have you ever noticed when you ask people for help, they always say, yeah, I'll help. I don't think I've ever asked for help where someone said, hey, I got nothing for you.
No way.
But if you want help, you got to be willing to ask. And I think that's another opportunity for people, willingness to say, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, and I don't need to be the smartest guy. I'm just going to ask questions and then see where it goes, right? Ask questions and listen.
Yeah, I think that those are such good points right there, and I think that I can certainly point to times in my life, and do it all the time now. If it's I'm managing somebody, I am presenting to a room full of people, being vulnerable and saying, "Hey, I've made these mistakes. I don't necessarily have all the answers." That is when you really endear yourself to people, versus the opposite. If you're in front of people, or if you're trying to present yourself as something other than what you really are, because we know that nobody is perfect.
Yeah. And so you introduced me at the beginning of the program as an expert. In my work, when you're working with owners of privately held businesses, and a lot of them are family owned businesses, I find that's a group of people that are already get it, that it's not easy, and there's no way that you can bat 1,000. And so when I talk to them and I say, I've got all this business experience, but don't be fooled, I am far from an expert in business. I've made all sorts of mistakes that you just sit there and go, how could I have done that? Right. That was, And then, or calamities that happen that I caused, and you just sit there and think, oh no. But when you share that with an owner of a business, he or she is going to say, well, that's it. That's all that's happened. I mean, let me share some of the stuff that's happened to me and to us and to our company. And hey, you know what? We're all in this together. And God, it's just so much more, you know, rewarding when you get to work with folks that have that kind of a mindset. You know, we're not trying to pretend to be something that we're not, you know, and I think that's just so rewarding to be in that kind of a situation. So you know what? We're all going to go on this journey together. We're on a journey to become better and to be our best. And to do that, we got to drop a lot of baggage. You know, we got to let go of the past and think about here and now and what the future holds. And, you know, it's a pretty good ride.
Yeah. I think that is such an important thing. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about it and talking about it. Just the idea that, and the fact that community and relationships are what make for a healthy and long life, just in general, and certainly for a healthy and productive and successful business community. And I mean, to ignore that is at your peril.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the other thing too, you know, about a privately held company, a privately held business, and that kind of an owner is he or she always has the long game in mind. So the mindset is more of a, hey, I'm kind of thinking out 5-10 years. You know, I'm focused on the here and now, but I've got a long-term outlook. I'm not managing this business or my life week to week, month to month, quarter to quarter. And yeah. I don't have those kinds of pressures on myself. I'm thinking about where do I want to be as an organization? What's my goal, say, 10 years from now? And, you know, it's been pointed out many, many times in a 10-year cycle, you know, you have 6 years that are really, really good, 2 years that are fabulous, and 2 years that will put you out of business. And I've seen this play out over and over and over again. You could go back in 10-year increments and just look at some of the events that have happened, either in our personal lives or in our business lives. You look at the economy, and we've been through a lot. And if you look at every bad thing that happens as just that, you know, there's a great little book, Ryan Holiday, you know, The Obstacle is the Way.
Right.
These things are going to happen, but they're going to present an opportunity for us versus, you know, now what? You know, it's the end of the world as we know it. It's just not true.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Renee, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Yeah, so this is all about focus, and we teach a tool in the EOS journey that's called the Vision Traction Organizer. So it's all about getting clarity around a vision, and then when you have clarity around that vision, there's a traction component. But on the vision side, there's a question that we ask the owner and the leadership team to answer, and that's all about their business's core focus. What's the core focus? So what's your sweet spot as a business? So what is it that you love to do, and as an organization, you're really great at doing? And getting very, very clear on that and letting go of all the other stuff that people have gotten themselves involved in. So we like to call that the shiny stuff. And there's a lot of organizations that really haven't taken all the things that they're doing and just say, okay, wait a minute, you know, are we really great at all those things, or are we kidding ourselves? And are we putting time and resources and energy against things that are really outside of what we truly love to do as an organization and what we're great at? And that's a fun exercise to take people through, and it's a bit of an awakening for them to be able to say, okay, there's going to be some things that we're going to have to let go of, right? We're going to put all our energy around something that we're passionate about and something that is really something we can point to and say, that's it. We can really own that. You know, that's our niche.
Well, that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
Renee, Thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you? How can people engage with you?
Well, a couple of different ways. My best way to reach me is my email, Renee, R-E-N-E, at tractionprocess.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, and you can learn more about EOS by either contacting me or you can go right to the EOS Worldwide website. There are over 400 people worldwide that are all serial entrepreneurs that have just dedicated their lives to helping fellow entrepreneurs get better. And you can find them at EOS Worldwide.
Love it. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Renee your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. You can shoot Renee an email at renee@tractionprocess.com. Find him on LinkedIn, and you can go to EOS Worldwide to learn more about the organization. Thanks again, Renee.
You're welcome, George. My pleasure.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because as we've talked about a couple of times here today, we are all in this together. Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online bootcamp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right.